Everything is coming off the walls now. Everything is coming down. Slipping into boxes and bags, packed up with the blame and the oil rags. Everything is coming off the walls now. Everything is coming down.
My portrait paint still smells like fear. No, I don't want it, just leave it here. Lawn looks nice, it's a grassy green, like the sheen of envy on a broken dream.
Everything is coming off the walls now. Everything is coming down.
And they're coming down the marble like a second line parade, like a Pollock on a head, and like a parson has just prayed. And they're locking up the door with the key they'll give away. Coffee is lonely, the couch is cold. The coffee is lonely, the couch is cold. The coffee is lonely, the couch is cold. If any hope was premature, I'll settle for a ligature. A live dot left from the lot to the right, where families can pick it up tonight. But the muffin pan and the monkey coat, no baby don't you gloat,
no baby don't you gloat.
You may be getting gold from dross, but a lady's line is a lady's loss. And they're coming down the marble like a second line parade, like a Pollock on the head, and like a parsonage's parade. And they're locking up the door with the key they'll give away. Everything is coming down. Down, the coffee is lonely, the couch is cold. The coffee is lonely, the couch is cold. The coffee is lonely, the couch is cold. The coffee is lonely, the couch is cold.
Everything is coming off the walls. Everything is coming down. An empty house like sour wine, but you drink it down, it's fine, it's fine. Everything is coming off the walls.
Everything is coming down.
I'm Henry McNulty, and this is From the Studio. I'm joined today by folks from an upcoming production of a 10-song song cycle that will be showing soon at Stage Left Theater. I'm joined by Rashe Thomas. Hi, Rashe.
Hi.
By Olivia Brownlee.
Hello.
And by Lanny Call.
Hi.
So, Olivia, this piece is your brainchild. Tell me a little bit about it. What's it called?
It's called, well, the working title is Virginia, Maria, and Me, a one-woman war in three-part harmony. So it's kind of like the original title was How to Write Songs.
Because there's a lot to unpack there already in that title. Multi-part. So walk me through, say, the Virginia, Maria, and Me part. What does that mean?
All right, so those Virginia and Maria are the names that I've given to two of my inner personalities that historically have fought pretty hard in high-intensity circumstances. And they are, Virginia is my inner housewife, and Maria is my inner pirate. And just from those titles, you can tell how they might have been to each other.
Is there a reason they have those names, just out of curiosity?
You know, I've thought about that. There originally was, and then there wasn't, and then there was again. So I can't remember the original reasons. Maria, I was like playing with the word maritime, like Maria time. And Virginia, I can't remember where I came up with that name for the inner housewife. It is the name of my paternal grandmother, and she does embody some of the qualities that, you know, some of what I consider good and bad qualities about my inner housewife. But also, she's her own person. And later on, when I was doing more research into internal family systems or inner teams and parts parties, I ran across Virginia Satir, who was the inspiration for, you know, IFS, et cetera. So, yeah, it kind of all fell into place. Super fun.
Let's also address then the one-woman show in three-part harmony. Of course, there are three of you sitting here, mm-hmm. So I have a little bit of sense of what that means. But tell me about how that came to be as well.
Yeah, well, I put a line in the dialogue at one point where I'm like, technically this is a one-woman show because all three of these parts are me. But I don't, I'm a lonely creature. Like, if you put me in a vacuum, I would not be able to prove that I exist. I really, really need community. And sometimes that is an extreme of codependence. And sometimes that feels like a healthy place of interdependence and, you know, a rising tide pulls up all ships and all that sort of stuff. So I would never do a one-woman show by myself.
That makes sense. There's a tension that is inherent to what you're describing. It feels like the way that you're dealing with that is then into this tight three-part harmony, which is almost the opposite of that tension. Does that feel like sort of a healing or coming together of these disparate parts?
This was definitely how I processed that tension in my life. It was about 10 years ago when it really started coming to fruition in this way. And then using harmony and music to make sense of these warring instincts for survival, to try to make sense of who I am on inside and why this happens. Like, and some of the harmonies, you know, as you'll hear in the play and the recordings, they're very, very dissonant. But it's still incredibly musical, especially with the performers I've brought on board for it.
It feels like there's something cultural there, too, between those different archetypes that you're talking about the housewife and the pirate. How does that play in, aside from the personal? Do you see something larger there that you're addressing as well?
Yeah, man, our rehearsal process has been so, so rich for me and challenging me in ways that I didn't expect to be challenged by my own material, you know? And one of the things that we've talked a lot about is how much of like a woman's play this is. And that surprised me, honestly, because I grew up, I don't know, it was the 90s. Being a tomboy was cool. And, you know, like eschewing your femininity was something that I was like, oh, this is a safer way to live. And even before this process, I was like, maybe my femininity is not so bad. Maybe there's something really, really inherent and healthy. And maybe my culture's language around all of this stuff is very limiting, and really exploring the roles of a woman in our society and exploring the limitations that have naturally like descended upon this person in the household, in the community, in the workplace. It doesn't matter whether it was intentional. It exists and it deserves to be talked about. But something else that has really struck me about this material in these songs is a lot of men have identified with the concept of being at war with yourself. You know, I have a friend who's in the military, and he's like, there's something about these songs and this idea that I, you know, when I retire, which is soon, I'm going to have a hard time transitioning from like being the dangerous man to being, you know, the father and the husband again, you know? So we all have these things that deserve to be looked at, deserve to be balanced, deserve to be heard, and why they thought this was the way to survive, and how they should be honored for that strategy, and then maybe thanked and assimilated into a more whole person.
Riche and Lanny, I'll turn to you on this. How do those messages resonate with you?
I am very much in tune with these messages. I think that it is a message towards self-actualization, which is kind of like been, for me personally, is my personal journey. And as being a woman and being a woman storyteller, I bring everything. I bring my whole experience to everything that I do, to my marriage, to my kids, to my community. Yeah, I mean, it's just the story of how sometimes those archetypes that we are so like attached to, or like we get stuck in by our culture or like our religion or whatever it is, have us not know that the journey really is self-actualization, and I think that will save you, right? Because then that's your full power. Playing the housewife for me, and I love it that we're still in workshop space, or she's still in workshop space with this. I just wanted to give that real truth, real freedom to be. Housewife, the feeling of that versus like, ooh, housewife, you know, or housewife, you know what I mean? Like, it's just like to be fully in these archetypes, to celebrate, yep, that's what I'm doing right now. That's what I am. And then they'll marry each other. And it's a real self-actualization. And that's how I see it.
Lanny, where does this fall for you?
It falls obviously very close to home. Yeah, I have been very resistant of being a mother and a housewife ever since I was a little girl, because that's the culture I came from. Was the expectation was to get married young, to have children, and to stay at home while he went to work. And every inner part of me was screaming that I didn't want to do that. And so how it relates to me is I still am in that process of trying to love my inner housewife and love my pirate and see the good and the bad in both sides of them, not just be like, well, I'm a pirate and I'm just going to be a pirate till the day I die, because that's also not authentic to who Lanny is. Also, Lanny, I have sourdough starter growing on my, literally, I was so excited about it. Like, I have this weird little inner housewife that I'm like, I really want to feed my brother today. I'm going to text him. You know?
Oh.
So, but I'm embarrassed about those sides of myself. I don't tell people that. I approach people as like, oh, I'm a powerful pirate. Sorry, I'm bad at interviews.
No, you're awesome.
What you're describing, though, it seems to fit so neatly with this overall theme and speaks to the way that the piece sounds like it speaks to people in general, including men and women. I want to turn to the production itself and how this works. As part of this interview, we're doing some examples from the show, and I know that it's a set of 10 pieces. Do those take us through a story? Are they self-contained? What is the setup?
Yeah, great question. The songs were all written pretty much individually. There were only a couple that I added once I was like, oh, I seem to have a little bit of an arc going here. And in the beginning, there is a lot of exposition in the first, say, four or five songs. You get to know the characters. The housewife does a couple of songs. The pirate does a couple of songs. They alternate. There's also, I should mention, a five-piece marching horn band that acts as kind of a Greek chorus. They reprise songs. They introduce songs. They walk in and out of the theater. They, you know, surround us with, like, this bombastic, unclenchable sound.
The usual setup.
The usual setup. You know, what you would expect to experience when you go to a musical in a theater. And the reason for this is kind of what the inside of my head sounds like on any given day. But it isn't until about the sixth song, right before an imposed intermission that I'm going to put into a 40-minute show. It isn't until the last song before that intermission where we're suddenly like singing songs a lot together and singing about the same things. And then it kind of takes us through the fights and the resolution.
The show in question is coming up at Stage Left, starting on Friday, April 10th, Saturday, April 11th, and Sunday, April 12th. All of the information is in the description of this audio. The piece is Virginia, Maria, and Me, and I've been speaking with Olivia Brownlee, Riche Thomas, and Lanny Call. Thank you so much for joining me.
Such a pleasure.
Thank you.
I baked you a sorry cake to try to cure my belly ache. I made plenty of mistakes, but my only crime was telling you I'm fine when I was not fine.
I made you a sorry blade to try to make my conscience fade. I made plenty of mistakes, but my only crime was telling you I'm fine when I was not fine. If you'll
spare me.
Spare.